From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 21st day of April 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Be safe in the field this afternoon. Take a nap if you can, because I know you'll be working late. Now might be a really good time to do that. I know it's kind of odd to say so, but just close your eyes and make your way through the closing market report with me. Here's some of what we'll have to say about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. A bit of what Daryl Good has to say. He's from the University of Illinois. I'll be talking about how many acres of soybeans should and can be put in the ground this spring. And, of course, we'll take a look at the weather forecast. The guys from Earth Risk Technologies will be here, too, as we make our way through this Monday edition of the program from Illinois Public Media about agriculture in the Midwest.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Let's check now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Monday afternoon. The nearby contract for the soft red winter wheat, that'd be the May futures, down 23 cents at $6.68 and a quarter. July, or the harvest month, at $6.75 and a half, 23 and a half lower. And the hard red July at $7.41 and three quarters, down 23 and a quarter. May corn futures, 488 and a half, 6 and a quarter lower. July at 493 and three quarters, down 6 and three quarters. And September corn for the day at $4.91 and a half, down 6 and three quarters. December futures, 490, down 6 and three quarters. And March contract of next year, $4.98, 6 and a half cents lower. Soybeans now. May futures, $14.98 and three quarters, down 15 and a quarter. July at $14.87 and a quarter, down 15 cents. August at $14.09, 11 and a half lower. And September at $12.86, down 12 and a quarter. November beans, $12.23 and three quarters, 15 and a half lower. January at $12.28 and a half, down 15 and three quarters. Bean meal at $4.85.70, down 2.60, and the bean oil at $43 even. That's down 41 cents. Live cattle futures from the CME Group in the April at 143.45, down 75. June up 17 and a half. At 134.55, May feeders 178.10, a nickel higher. August contract at 181.90, up 50 cents for the day. And lean hogs finished the May futures down 270 at $120.80. The June contract at 122.35, down 247.5 in the lean hogs for this Monday afternoon. You're listening, of course, to the closing market report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day. May contract $104.30 a barrel, unchanged. RBOB gasoline, or wholesale price, at $3.08 and 6 tenths of a cent, 3 and a tenth of a cent higher. Ethanol futures at $2.21 and a half. That's up 2 and 3 tenths, and the spread between the two is 87 and a tenth of a cent wide. That's 8 and 7. That's 8 tenths of a cent wider than it was on Friday afternoon. Natural gas at $4.69 and a half, down 4 and 6 tenths, and diesel fuel for the day $3.02, up 4 tenths of a cent. Gold futures at $1,288.10 an ounce, down $5.40, and the U.S. dollar trading 79.95 on the 10-minute delay, down 0.1 at this hour. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service. For the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon, a 50% chance of showers, some thunderstorms along the way, too, for the afternoon. And then as we move into this evening, showers are likely, possibly a thunderstorm before 11 p.m., a chance of showers and thunderstorms between 11 and 2 a.m., and then cloudy, gradually becoming partly cloudy, a low of 49 degrees for the evening, southwest winds at 8 to 13 miles an hour to begin with. They'll turn to the northwest after midnight, then gust to 17. Chance of rainfall this evening set at 60%. Tomorrow, sunny skies, a high of 63 degrees, north winds again, 14 to 16 miles an hour, gusting to 23. Kind of tough to spray, mostly clear on Tuesday night with a low of 36. North-northwest winds at 6 to 14 miles an hour. Then on Wednesday, sunny skies and 62 degrees. Wednesday evening, cloudy and 46. And a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the a.m. on Thursday, partly sunny otherwise, a high of 70 degrees, and it will be breezy. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Well, it is a Monday afternoon. Let's check the commodity markets and the futures and how they traded for the day with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, on this 21st day of April. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, did you have a good Easter and a great weekend?
Boy, we did. The weather was unbelievable. Got to drive a little bit around the countryside and see a little bit of activity. So, in all, it was a good weekend. Did yourself?
You know, I had a really good weekend. Spent it with Dad, and I bet him because we were watching Bradley, my youngest son, play baseball in Lincoln on Saturday, and I drove home. I think that was about 1:30 in the afternoon or so. We'd gone 10 miles, saw one tractor in the field, and I said, "I bet we see 10 tractors in the 4 miles, in the next 4 miles to his house." We crossed over Interstate 55. He won the bet, but it was close. We saw 9. I got to tell you, though, Kurt, it was really helpful because we dropped down off the overpass there at Broadwell, and the Dowsons happened to have a field there, and there were three
oh, wow.
three deers and three field cultivators, so thank you to them. I must admit, had I waited a bit, I bet I would have seen the two planters roll back in because they were planting the field by the time I left at 5 or about 4:30 that afternoon. So, and I knew there were two Gleasons in the field running tractors in that time frame too. But you know, nine tractors in 4 miles, that's not too bad. And I think there are, I don't know, 3 or 4 planters in that process, but they're moving. They're moving, and it was pretty clear by our Twitter accounts too that they were moving over the weekend, not only in our part of the world but parts of Iowa, Nebraska, a little bit of Missouri, I could tell. Things are just starting to ramp up pretty nicely, aren't they?
Yeah, we'll see what this afternoon's planting progress report shows, but for the most part, it's going to be a fast event. Ideas, you know, range anywhere from 9 to 12% complete as a nation. With the forecast, if it cooperates this week, there's ideas we could be up to 30% by next weekend, then up to 40% by the end of the month. So we'll see what fares here. Next week's forecast is a little cooler and wetter, but you know, you start getting out more than 4 or 5 days. It's a little bit more fine art trying to predict or have that come true. But guys are geared up. They can cover a lot of ground in a hurry. These planters are supposedly can go 10 mile an hour. Guys I've seen had them up to 12 miles an hour.
Well, they must not have had those planters. I don't think they're can you buy that one yet?
You know, a lot of stuff like that's going on. Good chunk's going to get in. Everybody's going to get in a time and fashion. It's going to be strung out over time. It's just not going to happen overnight. So we'll continue to monitor the forecast and see what the trades perception of the forecast is.
And so we lost, 6 cents in nearby corn. Deferred was down 6 3/4, and they remain, I'm going to guess, pretty close to the same price here, 490 and 488 and a half, yeah. But really, it was kind of the beans that faltered today. They were down 15 cents in the lead and finished below 15 bucks. Any worries there?
Well, from a technical point of view, we're overbought. The momentum indicators have turned over here on the short-term scale. Cycle count wise, we're due for a little pullback in here to fulfill some objectives there. Fundamentally, there's still talk of China and the southern hemisphere on where they are with their purchases. And also, too, we're seeing a little bit more concern about maybe these larger trading firms such as banks kind of backing out of the commodity trading in general. But for all these to come true here, we'll have to give it some time to see what really comes forward. When you look at the bean market particularly, we've had just a huge rally here ever since January. We're up almost $3, and so it's healthy for the market to correct here and see what's underneath the market here for a few days.
Now, is that one related very much to what's happening in the wheat? Because the wheat took a hard dive today, down 23 cents.
Well, wheat took a little bit harder on the chin fundamentally. World wheat export business has slowed somewhat. We're seeing some moisture out west, not enough for a lot of producers to be happy at this point in time, but there is some moisture out west. Also, too, we're seeing a situation where Europe receives some rain, Ukraine sees rain, China receives some rain. So the world fundamentals on wheat has turned a little bit negative on just a little bit more of a world wheat forecast. The thinking on the wheat domestically here in the U.S., we'll see what this afternoon's crop conditions report shows. There's still talk of some possible freeze damage, and that should start to show up. Last week's good to excellent category is around 34% good to excellent. So that might be the news item to watch here, those reports after 3 o'clock.
Any big items happening with the livestock? And I've been looking at those Ling Hog numbers.
Well, the futures are a little bit of a premium to where the cash is at this time. The futures might have gotten ahead of itself. Had a nice marketing meeting with Wade Nelson Thursday afternoon down there in Champaign. And,
is that what you're going to call that?
But it was educational. He's talked to a few pork guys, and there's several large pork operations that have some empty buildings due to the virus that took place this winter. And he's had an opportunity to talk to even some guys that run some rigs. It's, having a lot of free time to clean up their rigs after they do haul some hogs. So it kind of suggests that these numbers are going to get a little smaller here as we move along. Weekly kills are 4.6% below where we were a year ago. I wouldn't be surprised to see that number start increasing here as we move more into this May-June time window.
That must have been the marketing meeting that happened. Let's see, we did Commodity Week Thursday, and then did we have an extra Commodity Week then? Oh, and then you must have had a post-Commodity Week, post-post show.
You were invited.
I know, I didn't make it. I needed to go to see Dad there in Elkhart.
Sure.
Hey, there's one other item, and for producers, because I've been doing this for, well, I've been making the trip from Elkhart, which is in Logan County near Springfield, over here to Champaign, and I can tell you that if my brothers were in the field, they were in the field last Thursday, I think, for the first time planting corn. It will be about 10 days from that point till producers really start to roll here. It's just kind of the way it normally works. And it has a lot to do with how quickly the soils dry out on the eastern side of the state of Illinois and when the rainfall comes. So we'll watch. Maybe that'll happen again this year. So there aren't as many rolling here, but they will be rolling really fast soon, I think.
A lot of the guys we talked to, their goal was to get going right after Easter here, so they're ready to go. It's just whether the weather cooperates in their area or not.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
All right. Take care, Todd.
Yep. Bye-bye. That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Don't forget, you can always find us online anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming, from the opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between, including our Commodity Week program that airs immediately after this program on Friday afternoons. But it's posted to the website by about 4 o'clock then. And most everybody picks it up there at willag.org. Dave Dickey, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at IPM, will be along in a moment. He has today's Ag News.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In agricultural news, congressional Democrats are stepping up their opposition to the Trans-Pacific Partnership trade deal currently under discussion among 12 Pacific Rim nations. Labor unions and environmental groups are also vocal critics of TPP. President Barack Obama leaves for Asia on Wednesday with his first stop in Japan. The president also will travel to South Korea, Malaysia, and the Philippines. TPP talks are likely to be on the agenda. The National Feed and Grain Association claims in a new report that the U.S. agricultural sector has lost as much as $2.9 billion because China continues to reject shipments of U.S. corn due to the presence of a genetically engineered variety that China has not approved. NGFA puts the direct losses from the rejections at $1 billion, with another $1.14 billion in indirect losses to U.S. corn producers due to lower market prices for corn. NGFA says farmer losses have amounted to 11 cents per bushel so far in the 2013-14 marketing year. NGFA says China has rejected shipments totaling 1.45 million tons since last November. Meanwhile, soy buyers in China say that the Chinese may default on a further 1.2 million tons of soybeans worth about $900 million being shipped from the U.S. and South America to avoid incurring huge losses in a depressed local market. To date, trading firms have refused to make payments for about 20 shipments of soybeans. Trading firms in China are battling with weak demand for soy meal. Crushers, confronted by negative margins, are also unwilling to accept cargoes at current prices. Record high prices for U.S. beef burgers and pork chops are helping to make 2014 the most profitable year ever for chicken producers. The sales surge has sent wholesale prices to an all-time high. USDA says poultry farms will earn $203,500 on average, the most on records going back to 1996. Whole chickens sold by farmers in Georgia, the biggest producing state, rose 9.2% since the end of 2012 to a record $1.07 a pound on April the 9th. U.S. hog producers will now be required to report incidents of PED virus to the government. Until now, reporting of the disease was only voluntary. Producers will also be required to track movements of pigs, vehicles, and other equipment leaving affected premises. Since it was first confirmed in the U.S. last year, PED has spread to nearly 30 states and killed millions of piglets. USDA is instituting the new requirement, even though PED is not a reportable disease under international standards. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Both programs you can find anytime you'd like on our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org. By the way, if you miss them and you can't pick them up off the web or your smartphone, you can always just dial this number, 217-333-3434. We update it about 10:15 and 3:15 each and every business day with the numbers and a bit of analysis. Now up next, farmers in the United States collectively believe they'll plant about 81.5 million acres to soybeans this spring. Or at least that was the case in early March when USDA asked them that question. That's a 5 million acre increase, by the way, over last year, and for good reason. It is relatively cheap to produce soybeans as compared to other crops, and the price of beans, well, that's high, relatively speaking, than those other crops, too. Well, the prospects are interesting given the fundamental groundwork. Last year, the world raised back-to-back record-sized soybean crops, one in South America and one in North America. It also used 40% more soybeans than it did just 10 years ago, says University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good.
Much of that growth has occurred in China. While it may not be reasonable to expect Chinese consumption to continue to grow at the pace of the past 10 years, there is no sign of a reversal in that consumption. In addition, the U.S. should continue to have a large share of exports to China, even with another large South American crop in 2015.
Domestically, Daryl Good says strong demand from the livestock sector and for biodiesel will keep using up bushels of soybeans, too.
Under these assumptions of reasonable prices, large South American production, and slower but continued growth in world soybean consumption, consumption of U.S. and imported soybeans should be at least as large as during the current marketing year. With stocks of soybeans at the start of the 2014 marketing year at the projected level of 135 million bushels, with a 50 million bushel decline in marketing year imports, and with a more comfortable level of year-ending stocks near 185 million bushels, the 2014 U.S. soybean crop would have to be near 3.4 billion bushels to accommodate consumption of 3.36 billion bushels.
The trend yield value of soybeans of 44.2 bushels to the acre would require U.S. farmers to harvest about 76.8 million acres to meet the demand. Normally, that would require a planted acreage figure of about 77.8 million acres or a million more. Again, U.S. farmers have said they expect to sow 81.5 million acres of soybeans.
It could be argued that projection of marketing year consumption used here is too conservative. If use is 100 million bushels larger, planted acreage would need to be near 80.1 million. Additionally, the market may need to encourage even more acreage to reflect the risk of an average yield below trend value. Consumption of 3.46 billion bushels and a yield of 43 bushels per acre, for example, would require planted acreage near 81.3 million acres.
Well, that number is pretty close to what farmers are saying. The commodity markets still have some time to adjust, but the point of the story is Daryl Good thinks there's little need for the market to buy soybean acres for this growing season. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Let's check now the cash grain market for this Monday afternoon. On the phone line, Greg Johnson of the Andersons here in Champaign County. Hi, Greg.
Hello, Todd.
Producers moving and scratching the earth and maybe a few planting would be my guess today.
Yes. The weather has warmed up nicely. We actually haven't had that much rain here in central Illinois. I know they've had more rain to the south and other places, but right where we are here, it's relatively dry, and so people were able to get in the fields over the weekend.
Probably full bore by what, Wednesday, Thursday this week?
I think so. I think everybody's out there today doing one thing or another, and you know, not all are planting. Some are putting on anhydrous, some are working ground, but this rain doesn't look like it's going to slow us down very much today. The next rain doesn't happen till Thursday or Friday, so between now and then, hopefully we can get quite a bit done.
Yeah, we'll see by USDA NAS numbers. Those are due out at 3 o'clock this afternoon, and then, of course, next week, too. Hey, I want to know what you think about this wheat market and the drop today. What happened?
Well, I think wheat has gone up so much here recently, and now they are putting a little bit more rain in the forecast for out west. And at some point in time, the moisture is going to almost be too late. But the traders still obviously think that moisture, even at this date, will do some good. So I think we're just seeing a little bit of profit taking based on the forecast. And then the other thing would be, even though the tensions in the Ukraine are still relatively high, it's one of those things where I think the trade just got tired of talking about it and trading it every day. So at least for today, that kind of took the back burner, not to say that it can't move back up to the front burner at some point in time, but just not today.
And just your cash bids very quickly.
All righty. We've got cash corn at 476, new corn 465, old beans are 1514, new beans 1204, and new wheat 657.
Thanks much.
Thank you, Todd.
It's National Chocolate Covered Cashews Day. Small quantities of cashews were imported into the U.S. as early as 1905. World trade started after representatives of the General Food Corporation discovered these nuts during their mission to India in the early 1920s. It's also St. Buenos Day, patron against cattle diseases. On this day in agricultural history in 1835, Samuel Slater died. Slater was an English-American mechanical engineer who founded the American cotton textile.
establishing the first successful cotton mill in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, and others in the New England region. In 1838, John Muir was born. Muir was a naturalist who was largely responsible for the establishment of Sequoia National Park in California in 1890. Muir drew attention to the devastation of mountain meadows and forests by sheep and cattle, leading to his role as father of the national park system. And in 1915, Garrett Hardin was born. Hardin was an American biologist and author known for his classic essay on ecology and social ethics, Tragedy of the Commons, which was published in 1968. The story was a parable about farmers who allowed to graze their cattle in one field as much as they wanted to. Each acted in their own self-interest, and the field was eventually destroyed. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
On this Monday afternoon, time to check the weather forecast. Mark Russo at Earth Risk Technologies is on the phone line. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Good. Todd, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm fine. Easter was really magnificent. Weather was great. I was sunburned, but she's cloudy today. Yeah, I got burned actually pretty bad. It's cloudy today. I spent a lot of time outside. It's cloudy today. Farmers would like to stay in the field, and it's kind of a toss-up between whether they want rainfall or whether they want to stay in the field. What are they going to see?
Well, as we look ahead here for the next couple of weeks, Todd, we do see a more of a frequent progression of systems coming through Illinois, let alone the entire Corn Belt. You have one system, one shower and storm producer coming through right now across the belt, although totals here today and tonight with the system are going to be relatively light. But right on the heels of this is another system during the later part of this week, and then that will be followed by a more widespread, heavier producer coming up over the weekend and into the early part of next week. And so as a result here, we do see at least more frequent storm systems coming through and less dry days in between systems. So overall here, it looks like at least from now through the end of the month at least and into the first few days of May, actually, it looks like our most open window here for planting is actually now behind us, as that's been kind of your longest stretch of at least drier conditions, especially across areas of central Illinois that missed out on the big precip event about a week ago.
Yeah. Have you looked into the northern and northwestern parts of the Midwest and watched those soil temperatures? For a long time, they were really cold, and even the frost had stayed in the ground. I suspect that probably has all come out for the most part.
Yeah, it has, especially with conditions about a week ago, which we saw very warm temperatures. Now that was followed by exceptional cold, but with the warming this past weekend and even right now this week, we do see soil temperatures getting to levels that would promote planting. So we've lost that concern here for areas up in the Northwest.
All right. Well, we had snow and then we had 70 degrees, and so you always have to check and see where we're at this point. Looking out over those 2 weeks in the weather forecast, is there anything of great concern for the Midwest or the nation?
Well, we continue to monitor at least the situation here across the Plains hard red winter wheat belt, where there continues to be some more extreme dryness that dates back for the past few months, even back over the winter. Mm-hmm. Portions of southwest Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas. They're seeing some improvement right now with actually the precip event of the past couple of days, and there will be more opportunities, but that's the one area, though, especially in the western acreage in Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas, where we see overall limited opportunities, and likely that will continue to maintain some concern there, especially for the driest acreage. Back here in the Midwest, though, again, more of a slower planning progress here, pattern coming up. But it doesn't appear that we're going the route of last year, yeah. Which already by this time we had a huge precip event which really socked things in.
Hey, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Earth Risk Technologies. That wraps up the closing market report.